Wing TV, with Victor Thorne and Lisa Giuliani. The revolution is being televised.
Hello, it's Thursday, April 7th, and you're watching Wing TV. I'm Lisa Giuliani.
And I'm Victor Thorne. Welcome to Wing TV. Well, guess what? 9/11 on trial, the televised broadcast is over. What do you think?
Thank God.
I'll tell you what, folks. Like we said, actually, we didn't even get to do our intro yesterday because there were so many things going wrong with the camera and the computer and so forth that we filmed the intro, but we didn't even put it online.
We couldn't even do the photo gallery because of the computer glitches, so we apologize for that.
Yeah, so hopefully we got all those worked out. But we're saying that we're trying to keep everything together in front of the camera, but behind the scenes to get 18 witnesses lined up. And what we did, and this was... and a lot of people told me, don't do it this way, was the day that we filmed was the day that we were going to broadcast. And everyone said, why don't you leave a couple of days lag time so if a witness bails out or something, you have time to scramble. Well, of course, that would be too easy.
Right. And we couldn't even really get backups for people in case they had to cancel out. A, because it was hard enough casting the people who agreed to do it in the first place, let alone substitutes.
Yeah, so I have to give Lisa all of the credit for lining these guests up. And I want to show you. Here's the schedule that we used. That's, I don't know if you can see that. I'll hold it up a little bit closer. But you see everything that's scratched out and crossed off. And some of these dates, there were like three or four different witnesses lined up. Scratched one off, put another one in, they canceled, or they wanted to be moved to a different day. And it was incredible what was going on behind the scenes. It was just...
yeah, what we did was, well, I contacted Penn State University, and so they sent out announcements over their listserv, which gets sent to everybody at Penn State and in the various different departments and groups. So all these students got to see the announcement about Wing TV's 9/11 on trial. So I started getting a whole mess of phone calls from people. I want to do it. I want to be in it and all this. I'm writing down people's names. And so it was about 1.5 to 2 months ahead of time. Everybody had their script way in advance, and people seemed very excited. And as time went by, I started getting some really creative excuses.
Yeah, what was that one lady? She had, like, her mother or her grandmother died, the dog got run over. What was that one girl?
I mean, yeah, she was sick, then she got better, then her grandfather died, and she had to go take care of her brother, who was in an institution or coming out of an... I mean, it was like three or four things, everything but the dog ate my homework.
Yeah, exactly. And we had two actors that just, on the day of the shoot, completely blew us off. No phone call, no anything. Just didn't show up. So we had to scramble and get people to fill in. And what I wanted to do, the original vision of this, was to have an actor fill every single witness role. Well, we did it except for two, and those were two of the latest ones. And the one guy, that was witness 17, I believe, right? That was Tom?
Mommy boy?
Yeah. And he had the script for about a month and a half.
Yeah.
And a couple nights before, over the weekend, he started having some misgivings. He was reading this. And we did have some cancellations earlier, right when people got the script. They started looking at it, and they said, oh, man, this is way too heavy. This is too controversial. We can't do it.
Right.
And that was cool because we had time to fill them in. But here is a, you know, this guy was right the weekend before his shoot on Monday. So he ends up having his mother call us. And she's, you know, flipping out because he's flipping out. And finally, we're like...
the kid was practically crying. I shouldn't call him a kid because if he's old enough to get drunk on the weekends and vote and live in the dorm by himself, unless mommy lives there too, then he's old enough to decide whether he wants to do a part or not. And the thing about it is, if you give somebody your word should count for something.
And I told him, I said, what if every actor in the world shied away from controversial roles? You know, like Anthony Hopkins with Silence of the Lambs. Jack Nicholson, he's not afraid of controversial roles.
Right, or we wouldn't have actresses playing lesbians or anything like
that. Yeah, or hookers or something like that. So we said, you know, so he was still so upset, but I said, we'll give you a costume. We'll give you an alias. We'll put a bandana on your face. We'll give you a hat, sunglasses if you want. Nobody in the world will know who you are. Still, it was too controversial for him. So
it ended up that we had to get five people that we actually know, that we're friends with, to come in and play the parts to substitute for the actors who... Vamoose. One guy we snagged from the Blockbuster video in a act of desperation, and so some of these people weren't studying to be actors, and they did their best on a moment's notice, and we really appreciate it.
Oh, and we thank every one of them. And as we said, I think on the opening day, this wasn't a low budget production. This was a no budget production. And the thing is we have a lot more respect for actors right now because we know how hard it is. And the ones that really clicked, the ones that understood what we were trying to get, it was like a magic in the air when we were filming because you could feel it, you know, and it just filled the room up with this energy and excitement and electricity. And it was a very rewarding experience actually doing the shows. Mm-hmm. It was just to coordinate and get the logistics right for 20 different witness roles was a pretty big undertaking.
I'd say most of the people that signed on to it agreed that what we're doing is a good thing. It's a historic thing. There were a couple people who felt uncomfortable. One person thought we were disrespecting the dead of 9/11, which I corrected that misperception immediately. And one person was a former detective and didn't want to be recognized by people he's arrested in the past. So, I mean, even though we could have given him a disguise and all that, too, that was blown off for that reason.
And Lisa was right. This was history in the making. And we've gotten we've got literally hundreds of emails specifically about these shows, a lot of great feedback. Mm-hmm. And a couple emails out people who've been watching every single show, following along. And finally, after the final roll was over yesterday, someone said, aren't there any Jim Garrisons in the world that will take this case and move forward with it and won't take no for an answer? And that's all we need, because what we've done, what we wanted to accomplish here, was we wanted to show people that if there was a lawyer out there that had some resources and some wherewithal to them, we could take this case into any court of law across the country and win.
Providing there is one.
Yeah, a fair court of law.
We actually had a guy who said he was a lawyer and a judge for many years email me to tell me that he wanted to come on our show and present the government side of the case and defend the government's version. And he wanted us to stop what we're doing and then redo the whole trial all over again, which is about the most unrealistic demand anybody has ever made. And, of course, we weren't about to do that. The government's had 3.5 years to show the evidence regarding 9/11 to make their case, and they've failed to do so. And I seriously doubt that any serious lawyer or judge is going to spend his time hanging out in Internet chat rooms.
Yeah. And as we said on the opening introduction of this trial, we said we're more than welcome. We'll open our doors to the federal government to let them come in and try to refute this case. There's mm-hmm. nothing we would like more. And we've done, I'll bet you in the last 2 months, over 20 interviews, radio interviews. And people call into the show and they say, hey, you know, we ordered your book, we love it, but where's the government's, their rebuttal to this? And we said, well, the door's open. We've made this, you know, we're very open about what we've been doing.
We would be very open to the government negating Galileo and Isaac Newton. So if they feel they can do that, we'd be very, very interested to hear what they have to say.
And it's kind of ironic now that yesterday was the final day of shooting for this trial, mm-hmm. and that's the day that NIST's preliminary report came out. And folks, I got to tell you, first of all, we had the FEMA report, the FEMA whitewash report. Then we had the Keene-Zellico 9/11 independent whitewash report. Now we have the NIST whitewash report. And it's only preliminary, but here's the summary of what they're saying. And over time, first of all, we were told that it was the plane's impact mm-hmm. into the buildings, that it hit the building so hard that it compromised the core structures and made the buildings crumble. Well, guess what? That was disproven.
Yeah.
Then the government said it was the fires. The jet fuel fires were so intense that it melted all the girders and made the buildings collapse. Well, we disproved that one, too.
Yep.
Then they started with their pancake theory, which is contained in here, of course. That one was disproven. Then they throw out, this is now their fourth theory, their truss and bolt theory. Contained in here, that's been disproven. So now the NIST report comes out. Four of their conspiracy theories.
This must be their bullshit theory.
Yeah. So now the NIST report has their fifth conspiracy theory. Now they say the towers collapsed because the fireproofing material got knocked off and it was inadequate.
This would be funny if it wasn't so boring by now, because earlier in the trial, if you remember, we discussed the experiments that have been done in countries around the world, as well as the United States, on steel frame structures that did not have the fireproofing material that the World Trade Center towers were equipped with, and those unprotected steel frame structures did not collapse due to fire. So, I don't know, NIST has its head up its butt or something.
Yeah. And there's an excellent section in here about the Corus construction steel experiments, where, as Lisa said, they did experiments, I think, in four different countries mm-hmm. around the world on steel frame structures. And they set them on fire and got the fires as hot as humanly
right.
possible.
They were loaded with flammable materials,
yeah.
and they were not protected with a fireproofing material, and they did not collapse.
Yeah.
So NIST better go back to the drawing board. Maybe they should get some help from Popular Mechanics' team of 70
yeah.
experts.
So now, that's five different theories that the government or officials sources have postulated. Five different sources, and every one of them, us, and all of the different researchers in this book have discredited. How many
yeah.
more are they going to have?
It's six, totally laughable.
7, 8, 9, 10. I mean, when does it stop? And the biggest thing is that why can't people accept that a cabal within their own government was responsible for this? You know, we've talked about this on many radio shows. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people can are more than willing to say, oh, it was Osama bin Laden that did it. Oh, it was Saddam Hussein. It was the Taliban. It was Al-Qaeda. But then when you say, wait a second, none of those, they didn't have the resources, the access, the means to do it. But there was a cabal within our government that had all of those things, plus the resources to cover up their dirty work.
Plus, but even if you look at Al-Qaeda and the CIA and Osama bin Laden and the Bushes, there's a lot of connections there that you can't deny.
Right. So for people to accept this, to swallow this bitter pill, it's too much for them. So they end up just pushing it out of their mind. And, you know, we ran this review that was in a local newspaper here a couple of days ago by Tom Comita. And the line that I keep coming back to was one sentence, and it completely summarizes the government's official version of events. He writes, "The government account appears to play highly on ignorance and little on reality." What could better summarize this entire case and what we've proven? Because point after point after point in the official version of events, we disprove in this book.
Right. And we do know that ignorance is bliss, but there's sometimes when you have to face reality.
Yeah. And when we saw these witnesses here, it actually made us understand the material even better
mm-hmm.
because we could see it come to life. You know, there's one thing to look at words on a page, but when somebody's actually vocalizing it and speaking the words, you really it hits home, and that's why we're so glad that we did this show, was we did bring it to life.
And we know that it's reaching people all over the world. We're getting emails from people in other countries saying, your show has reached here, and if you can save America, then the rest of the world has a chance to be saved too. And people are emailing me, making copies of the shows, giving them out to people. We urge you to do this. We urge you to do this, and we really appreciate all of the support and encouragement and kind words, suggestions, criticisms, and everything else we've received from everybody out there.
And speaking of which, Nancy, out in Iowa, just ordered her third shipment of 10 books. So she's getting these books 10 at a time, giving them out to people there. And thank you very much
mm-hmm.
for that, Nancy. Also, we have great news that we're going to put in an order now for our fourth print run of 9/11 on Trial. This book's only been out for a little over 2 months. So the word is getting out there.
Let's keep it going.
Exactly, exactly. And, you know, one thing that we briefly touched upon when Witness 17 canceled on us was this fear factor. And I think I said something about, like, can you imagine someone going through the rest of their life being that afraid of the world around them? I mean, why doesn't he just lock his door and sit inside his house for the rest of his life, because then there won't be anything to be afraid of?
The whole thing with that guy, he was totally fine with the role for a month and a half. And we had communicated back and forth a few times and never had a problem with it until it was actually time to do it.
Yeah.
And it just so happens, it was a Friday, wasn't it?
Well, his shoot was a Monday, but yeah, I think he emailed us
right.
on a Friday.
I don't know what the deal is. It was cold feet at the last minute, stage fright or whatever, but I know my mother would never, ever involve herself in something like that.
Yeah.
Make me look like an ass like that.
And I mean, you know, and me and Lisa have talked about this with other people before, is we come out here, we put our faces right here. We're not afraid to show who we are. We're not afraid to say what we have to say. And if any of us are afraid, they ought to just get out of the field right now.
How long have we been doing this? Even when we had our old show, we were saying what we wanted to say. Nobody's ever messed with us.
Yeah.
Nobody messes with us now. We've been doing this show over a year.
There is nothing to be afraid of. And next week, we're going out to Oklahoma City.
Mm-hmm.
People telling us, you can't go out there. That's going to be a hornet's nest out there. You're going to get yourself arrested. You're going to get yourself shot and killed. We don't think about that. We don't think about any of it, except for one thing.
We're not going to do anything to get ourselves in those positions. Right. So,
I mean, we're going to hold up signs. We're going to give speeches. We're going to make our presence known. But there's nothing to be afraid of. And there's a lot of people in this field, this conspiracy research field or alternative research field, that promote fear day after day after day. They want you to think that the government watches every single move you make,
mm-hmm.
what roads you drive on, what radio shows you listen to, what log sites you or what websites you log on to, everything about you, like what you think, everything. They want you to just think the Big Brother is constantly there. Well, guess what, folks? The government doesn't care.
And if they're doing stuff like that, they're doing it at such a smaller degree
right.
than people would have you believe. It's not happening on every street corner in every neighborhood in every city in every state of every, you know, part of the union. It's not happening that way. It's not happening with that magnitude.
And you know why? Because 99.999% of all the people in this country aren't doing anything
right.
that concerns the government.
Right.
I mean, here we are, Lisa and myself, some of the most vocal and visible people on the internet. We're not afraid.
You want to look at some fearless people, look at Rick Stanley. He's
exactly.
put his face out there and gotten arrested for it, and he's still speaking out. Look at the Minutemen.
Yep, exactly.
That's an inspiration right there. If they're not afraid to go stand on the border with Mexican troops standing right on the other side of the border, you know, then I don't know what to tell you. But
look at former Senator Charles Key, V.Z. Lawton, and Chris
right.
Emery. On Tuesday, they gave a press conference out in Oklahoma City, right at the memorial where we're going to be. They had press there, TV, newspaper, radio. They had Westwood One there. And they stood out there, put their faces in front of the camera, and said, hey, guess what? This version of events that the government's peddling your way doesn't add up at all. It's a lie. They're not afraid.
No.
So
USS Liberty crewmen, same thing.
Exactly.
Standing up to the military, standing up to the government. Bob Dumas, a former guest on our show, fought the federal government in court and won and started the whole MIA POW movement. I mean, it's people like you and me that are going to make the difference.
Yeah. And then there's the American Free Press. Those folks down there aren't afraid to put their faces
mm-hmm.
out there, America's best newspaper. So there's all these forces that are telling you, don't be afraid.
Right.
And if you do hear people out there doing this fear mongering, you have a way to shut them off. Just click the button. You know, fear isn't going to make us get the truth out anymore. So it's going to mm-hmm. be courage.
And just remember, fear sells. So figure out why they're doing that
exactly,
to you.
Exactly, exactly. So what we're going to do here, folks, is tomorrow we're going to wind things up. Tomorrow's going to be our Friday weekend edition. Then starting next week, we're going to have some interviews. The week after that, we're going to be off the air. We're going to be out in Oklahoma City.
Mm-hmm.
Then the week after that, one more week of interviews. Then starting in May, Wink TV is going to have a kind of a different feel to it or a different look. We're not going to do as many guest interviews. What we're going to do instead is come out here and talk to you like we've been talking to you. And we want your input.
Mm-hmm.
We want to hear from you. And we're going to make this more of just like a back and forth talk show. And the people that we respect the most, the ones we put the most faith in, are you.
Right.
Because we know that you're the ones that want to make this country better. You're the ones that are standing up. And, you know, there's people in this field, like Kyle Hentz,
mm-hmm.
and we're going to touch upon them, too, the ones that absolutely,
oh, yeah, we are.
Absolutely refused to have anything to do with this book. And it's going to be shocking and it's going to be surprising to some of you out there, the names we mentioned, because we've pounded on their doors dozens and dozens of times and said, hey, we'd love to come on your show. We'd love to spread the word. And we have to thank all the dozens of radio shows that we've been on. Actually, tonight, between 5 and 6 o'clock tonight, Eastern Time, we're going to be on Eye on the Future Radio. And next week, we're going to do Visigoth's radio show from the Grassy Knoll. And
you can find that information on our WMTV homepage.
Right. So, anyway, folks, there's a little summary of the NIST report.
Oh, I wanted to tell you, too, check out our WMTV exclusive of the OKC press conference that Charles Key, Chris Emery, and VZ Lawton held this past Tuesday in Oklahoma City. You can click on that right in the middle of our homepage. And check that out. We're the only ones that have that footage.
Yeah, this was filmed on Tuesday, and Chris Emery told us there were at least half a dozen FBI agents milling around while they were giving this press conference.
Mm-hmm. And he said, trying to intimidate them.
And he said definitely they didn't want this to get beyond Oklahoma City. Well, right now, it's on Wing TV.
It's all over the world.
And it's all over the world. So go on to the homepage, scroll down the middle column where it says OKC Press Conference.
And send it far and wide.
Exactly. And this... we have to tell you, on April 19th in Oklahoma City, the 10-year anniversary, this is the activist event of the year. Regardless of where you are in the country, take a day, take 2 days, come out there, show your support for the OKIBC, come out and say hello to us. And
OKBIC.
OKBIC. And just let the government know that you know that they're peddling nothing but hogwash in regard to that. So
it's time we speak truth to power. We hope to see as many of you out there as we can.
Exactly. We'll be back tomorrow on Wing TV. Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for all the feedback on our trial. It means a lot to us.
Have a good one.